This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Islamic Republic of Iran. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness and Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, 1 year since the death of a prominent, infamous man named Soleimani, and the puzzle what this means for the ongoing contest between the Islamic Republic of Iran and its whole neighborhood. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, the death of Soleimani a year ago is being commemorated by the Iranian regime. How so?
Well, this is it's very interesting. First of all, it's good to be back with both of you. They are undertaking very extreme measures to commemorate the anniversary. They hacked major Israeli publications, Jerusalem Post, Ma'ariv newspaper. They established a Hebrew site on their major national media vehicle and online site on Instagram, on Twitter. It's called Taznim. But they now launched one in Hebrew, and they say they're going to sustain it as a way of trying to stimulate response against Israel amongst Hebrew-speaking people and to provide them with information, which they seem to feel that is needed for a country that controls its media versus one that has the most free media. They also are calling for a trial of President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo and saying that if the U.S. fails to properly handle them and bring them to trial in an open court, then they will feel the fist emerge from the sleeve of Mother Muslim nation, and it'll be a hand of revenge against them. So we are seeing a number of public manifestations that are really highlighting in a way that hasn't been true until now the role that Soleimani played. Really idealizing him and his tactics, his humbleness, his and humility, his contributions to the security, and how his works will be studied for generations to come. I think it's the need for a national figure and also to cover for the fact that they were never able to avenge it.
Malcolm, there's also going to be a visitor to Iran, one which would make proponents of the Monroe Doctrine rather unsettled.
Yes, they would be. But Mr. Maduro, the president of Venezuela, a longtime ally and supported by Iran in many ways, said he spoke twice with his Iranian counterpart, Raisi, and they agreed on some new plans and looking at ties with the Middle East, saying that the Arab nations love Venezuela. So he announced that he will soon visit Iran at the invitation of Raisi, and it will become part of Venezuela's plan to revive their ties in the region. The two presidents supposedly had several telephone conversations, which they agreed on new plans. The United States has tried to intercept shipments going to Venezuela from Iran, often successfully, but this is a public manifestation. We'll see whether the visit actually comes forward.
Malcolm, at the same time there's a water crisis in Iran, the regime is spending resources trying to launch a satellite. That's madness.
So this is really an important point. I'm glad you raised it because people don't understand the internal situation in Iran, and we're negotiating with them as if they are this world power, when in fact internally they are facing not only immense public reaction against corruption, against the lack of food, against the medicine, against the medical care, against the collapse of the whole internal system, but the water crisis has become so deadly and so serious that even the external assessments and the Iranian newspapers themselves now run headlines saying that 300 towns and cities have acute water stress, that 97% of the country is affected by the drought. And one said that 20 million people have been forced to move to the cities because the land is too dry for farming. And many dams registered the lowest point, and these are also used for producing power. So now power outages at the height of one of the hottest summers ever recorded, and we see that the even rivers are disappearing after engineers diverted flows to support industrial plants near Isfahan. So it's really a tragic situation and one of great concern and not getting the attention. And if they would stop diverting the resources away into terrorist activities and, as you said, the launching rockets and engaging in the nuclear expenditures, maybe they would be able to find a solution to this water crisis.
We go to Syria immediately. This is a puzzle, Malcolm. I've waited to speak to you about this. An airstrike at Latakia, which is a prominent port in Syria. Syria says Israel is attacked again. Yes, yes, yes. We can presume this is to interrupt the flow of arms into Syria and into Lebanon. But Latakia, that's a very prominent port. Don't the Russians also occupy parts of Latakia? That's my memory anyway.
Well, your memory is right that it is that they are there. They are in parts of Latakia. And these attacks were launched from the Mediterranean, according to Syrian sources, and hit newly arrived shipments of Iranian weapons that had been sent, obviously, by Iran to Syria as part of their ongoing effort, both to support the terrorist organizations, resistance bodies, whatever they call them at that day, as well as Hezbollah. With these new weapons, and Israel likely eliminated them, but probably from ships off the coast, and the fire lasted for some 7 hours, and was a very important message because the explosions were very clear and visible for a long distance, and it is part of the ongoing effort by Iran to supply weapons to their allies there, and the port that was targeted has been hit before, but this time it seems they hit the container yard, sparking really large fires. I've seen the pictures.
But here's the complication, Malcolm. Early on, when Russia intervened in Syria, we had much talk of deconflicting. Now, Russia's security in Latakia is either violated, or they gave their permission, they knew beforehand of this strike. And by the way, those fires suggest there were secondary explosions, lots of munitions. The Russians are claiming ignorance that they about these arms flowing right in front of them, in front of their security net?
They don't claim ignorance because there's no way they can't know because the weapons are either shipped in or flown in from Iran today. They've tried to do it over land, but Israel has successfully prevented that repeatedly. So the Russians are aware of it. I think that there's an understanding between Israel and Russia that Russian targets are not hit. So that's why they didn't perhaps bomb from the air, which might have hit either personnel or material belonging to the Russians there, and did it by sea, hitting the exact targets where the new shipments arrived.
This is a dangerous business, Malcolm. Miscalculation always goes on when you're dealing with munitions such as the Israelis and the Russians. Do we believe the Russians have given permission for this?
Permission or turning a blind eye or some understanding, because they don't want to see Iran built up either. And we've known that the Iranians with Hezbollah have boosted their presence in south and west areas of Damascus. And this came also from the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. They're talking about Hezbollah is expanding an old Syrian military base in the Sayed al-Zainab area to be used as training and operation center for resistance, for reconnaissance drones, which, as you know, have been used for attacks against the U.S. and just recently, this past few days, in Baghdad against the U.S., part of the commemoration of the Soleimani anniversary of his death. And we know that underground construction is going on there, which is to protect Iranian drones from these strikes. So there is a lot going on. It's not stuff that is unknown to the Russians. I think the Russians welcome the fact that Israel exercises some sort of a control over the further expansion or unlimited expansion of Iranian influence in Iran.
Later on this evening, I speak with Anna Borshevskaya of the Washington Institute, whose new book is about Vladimir Putin in Syria, extensive understanding of the Russian approach to the Syrian intervention that is highly suggestive of the Russian approach to Ukraine. However, we turn now to Gaza. Thaddeus?
Malcolm, what can you tell us about the rocket attacks that were fired at Tel Aviv on Saturday?
two rockets landed on the beach, the Mediterranean side of Tel Aviv, and did not do damage, but they were the first time that we saw these kind of missiles being fired. And the attacks are very serious. They claimed, the people in Gaza were claiming, that it was because of lightning strikes or weather set off the rockets, an excuse they've tried to use before. Israel would have nothing of it. This is an escalation when you have these Strela anti-aircraft missiles being fired, and also that when Israel helicopters went in to scout the area and see where the launches came from, they were fired at with these massive machine guns, and Israel retaliated by hitting the rocket manufacturing sites, very specific targets on the out in Gaza, where they were, where they are producing these the rockets. If Palestinian Islamic Jihad is believed to be responsible for it, Hamas seemed to distance itself as much as possible from the attack. So I think the response was a targeted and limited one, but had to draw the line in the sand. Egypt, of course, scrambled to try to calm things down and to stop the, make sure there's no further escalation.
We have two stories that go in different directions. They're mirror opposites. One, allies, a new defense pact, the United States and Israel. The other, enemies, adversaries at least, in Lebanon, the failed state of Lebanon, Hezbollah, a terrorist organization that is a servant of Iran, and the Christian community in Lebanon, much beleaguered for decades. Let's start with the happy news, Malcolm, of the defense pact. To what aim, given the working together of these two states?
As you know, that the newspaper and the media only cover whenever there's tension between Israel, but the overwhelming, well over 99% of the areas of cooperation, including in defense and security areas, they signed a $3 billion defense deal, which involves the provision of 12 helicopters and two refueling aircraft, and also the purchase under a separate agreement for $1 billion of these Case 46 refueling aircraft, which are vital for Israel in refueling its what they hope will be a new fleet of F-35s as well, and also advanced air munitions and air defense system. It's a very comprehensive deal, which meets the immediate challenges that Israel is facing, and it ties into what we saw in Gaza with the new missiles, that the fact that they are willing to take more advanced equipment and using it against Israel means that Israel has to constantly upgrade its responses. Then on the Lebanon front, we've seen President Aoun, the Christian president of Lebanon, called for the country's defense strategy to be reworked. He lashed out at Hezbollah in a very direct way. It's saying that the responsibility really rests with the state, and defense strategy and everything should be done by the state, and trying to criticize Hezbollah for its independent policies. But also his son, who is considered a contender for the presidency in Lebanon in the future, issued some very strong challenges against Hezbollah now. And they are considered unusual in the direct nature of what he was saying in terms of posing a challenge to the Hezbollah regime. I think that they talked about the alliances that have been created, attacking Berry and his group, and their alliance with the and calling for them to step aside. And it says that the main responsibility, trying to shift the responsibility away from Hezbollah back to the government of Lebanon. It reveals some of the tensions that exist right now within Lebanon, the collapse of the state, of the terrible economic conditions that are besetting the people, and the question about what kind of new alliance will emerge out of it. They say that the 15-year Christian Hezbollah arrangement is in danger of collapse now.
Malcolm Hoadline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. The calendar year 2022 begins with the same turmoil in the Middle East of the last year, the third year of the pandemic. We turn now to the dusty one. Indiana Honlein will be here with his report of his discoveries. I'm John Batchelor.